This morning, congregation, we have the amazing opportunity to hear from, not me, another guest preacher, Eduardo Evole, I'm sorry I mispronounced that, is heading up the REF ministry at UTEP. He is a native of El Paso, currently working on his MDiv at Covenant Seminary. He is a terrific man of faith. He's a man of the people. Please greet him after the service. Get to know him if you can. Eduardo, we're so excited to have you bring God's word to us today. Awkward.
Just from my, that greeting with, Jordan, you can tell I'm an awkward person, so bear with me. Well, this morning we'll be reading through Psalm 125. So if you may join me in the reading of God's word. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Well, good morning, UPC. My name is Ed, and I'm the Campus Ministry Associate for RUF at UTEP, and like RUF at New Mexico State, we labor to reach and equip college students. And it's a pleasure to be here this morning with you, and I would love to meet y'all after worship and just share a few stories of what God is doing over at UTEP. Well, last year, a group of us, along with my wife and just a group of RUF students, we had the privilege to visit RUF in Mexico City. And we had a great week of fellowship, service, and exploring the city. And Mexico City, if you've never been, is a really huge city. Being the capital of Mexico, it is the largest city of the country and even the world. During my time in Mexico City, as I was talking with some of the students, they were sharing stories with me. We were just talking, you know, getting to meet each other, just how they got to be at UNAM, the University of Mexico City, just how they ended up being in Mexico City, just basically hearing, what's your story? And many of them said that they were not locals from Mexico City, but some of them actually moved to the capital for better opportunities. Their parents were looking for better jobs, just better financial security. So they were looking for a better life. And big cities tend to make us feel that way sometimes. They provide assurance, security, and safety that motivates us, or motivates many, to go and live in these. So in Psalm 125, which is a psalm of ascent, and in all the psalms of ascent, the people of God would sing these psalms on their festive pilgrimages to Jerusalem. They would sing these psalms to remind themselves that they are a people who, by God's grace and mercy, have always been on the move and have always been on a journey to a better place as promised by God's covenant. They would sing of their security and their assurance as they were heading to Jerusalem. And similar to our current age, capital cities in the ancient world brought stability and security. These cities would be most sheltered and protected from any outside threat. The psalmist knows this and uses the city and the mountains as a metaphor to describe the security one holds when he resides in God. The psalmist knows the safety and stability of the mountains and the city, but the psalmist is also pointing us to a better security, a better assurance, a better stability. Not found in the city, not found in the mountains, but found in our Lord, in God himself. Please pray with me. Father, as we look to Psalm 125. As we hear about the security and the stability and the sustainability that cities and mountains can bring, Father, remind us that we have a bigger sense of security, of stability, of sustainability found in you, particularly in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for caring for us. And as we look to your word, help us seek this assurance found in your Son. In your name we pray. Amen. So, Psalm 125, begins with the assurance for those who trust in the Lord. As you can tell from the psalm, it is a really short psalm, but there's so much to pack in this. For the psalmist compares this assurance with the city of Jerusalem surrounded by the mountains as if they were four walls protecting the city. And even within these walls, there is a scepter of evil, even inside the city, looking to hurt and damage the faith of the righteous. The Lord will rule and defend his people from his enemies, not only the enemies outside, but also those within the city as well. He will bring justice and deal with all corruption from evildoers and bring justice and peace for his people. So let's look at three points that the psalmist teaches us in this psalm. The first one, the safety of the city. The second, the realities of danger and wickedness. And third, God as our true sense of security and stability. As mentioned earlier, several students were just sharing their stories and how their families moved to Mexico City from either Chihuahua or from Monterrey, just from different places. They all decided to move to Mexico City to find better opportunity. They were convinced that they could find better living conditions if they were to move to this capital city, just due to the bigger number of opportunities, the job positions, UNAM is there. So there are indeed those opportunities. But you don't just have to go to Mexico City to realize that sometimes these big cities or these capitals just bring opportunities. The same thing could be said about any large city, just like New York or Los Angeles. One of the most common struggles that I hear from UTEP students is that there aren't enough jobs in El Paso, so they look elsewhere for these jobs. Many of them end up going to Austin or San Antonio, LA, somewhere else, depending on what career path they choose. My brother-in-law himself is now living in Denton for this, so we even see this within our own families. Capital cities bring this. They bring stability. They bring opportunities. And in the ancient Near East, here in Jerusalem, Jerusalem alone was a fortified city with merchants. It had water sources along with the mountains of Zion and the other mountains surrounding the city. There were opportunities. Plus, the king also resided in Jerusalem, who would bring security to rule and defend his subjects lest any danger would rise. So it was definitely a place to be, to reside. And in these festive journeys, the people would sing about Jerusalem and how its security would bring them hope. So you have the safety and assurance from the city, but also the mountains, as we see the psalmist using as a metaphor, brought means for protection and security. Unlike man-made walls or fences that protect the city, the mountains cannot be moved nor destroyed. They serve as protection from outside enemies looking to invade and attack the city. They also serve to protect the city from the elements and natural disasters. As citizens of El Paso and Las Cruces, we can relate to this picture, since we have the Oregon Mountains and the Franklin Mountains that protect us from tornadoes and other elements. But like any city in a world marred by sin, there can never be a complete sense of security and stability. As the psalmist points out, the scepter of wickedness will not rest and is looking to hurt the righteous, bringing them harm and even causing them to stretch out their arms and sin. The scepter of wickedness is not only found outside the walls of Jerusalem, but within its walls, even within its own people, even within the righteous, looking to hurt the leaders and the kings inside Jerusalem. We see this with King Saul, who prioritized his own interest over defending his subjects. He was a man that the kingdom was looking and searched for. This was a perfect candidate, yet he put his own interest over the people's. But it wasn't just Saul. We see this with King David also, who, though was a great king and a man after God's own heart, wasn't a perfect man himself, who would eventually should have cared for his soldiers and the women of his kingdom. But we know what happens when he fell to lust and took Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, his own subject's wife, for his own interest. In the New Testament, we see in the Gospels, Herod brought corruption and evil to God's people, and we witness the corruption of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. God's teachers, God's rabbis, also brought corruption. And the merchants inside the temple, the most holiest places, these merchants would bring doves and goats for their own monetary gain, their own personal profit. This pervasive wickedness would ultimately culminate in the trial and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was sentenced in the great city, who was tortured and would eventually be crucified outside of Jerusalem. And if we're honest with ourselves, some of this culminates inside us too. This wickedness can reside even within the four walls of our churches, though they should be some of the safest place for all people. Even this can reside within the four walls of our churches. The city, as many resources and opportunities it may have, it cannot bring a true sense of stability since sin is present in the world. Cities of opportunity, such as New York or Mexico City, can also bring dangers and can bring loss. We see crime rates being higher in these cities. Also, if you ever visited LA, you see the villages of camping tents that are just outside, not just of Skid Row, but even within the cities, you see a lot of homelessness there. And again, there's the crime, just the fear of being mugged, of being assaulted, or even being killed. There's a reason why most crime and law enforcement shows happen in major cities. I don't remember ever watching CSI Las Cruces or Adam and Order Blue recently. Cities don't always bring true protection, and the scepter of wickedness can be active and present, challenging our faith as we feel its weight on our shoulders. Again, if we are honest with ourselves, it is not only the city, but it can be our very own selves stretching our hands to do wrong. The psalmist, my friends, the psalmist knows this and points to us to a better sense of belonging and stability. This is not found in a city or a mountain, but it is a person, someone we can trust. The living God himself, Yahweh. Only in him can we find a true sense of assurance. In fact, the psalmist addresses three ways we can rest in his assurance: through stability, surrounding, and sustaining. And just as the mountains cannot be moved nor shaken, the Lord will not change his ways, always bringing assurance to his promises. Those who trust in the Lord can and will be assured that when trials or troubles face us, we will not be shaken. Though the scepter of wickedness can come and be active, the Lord will ultimately crush it. Though we can be afflicted, we will not be crushed. Though we can be perplexed, we will not be driven to despair. Though we can be persecuted, we will not be forsaken. Though we can be struck down, we will not despair. The Lord surrounds us and sustains us in all his ways. This, of course, implies a trusting in God, trusting his stability, his surrounding and sustaining. This trust, trusting in God's own Son, in Jesus Christ, helps us see that it is not enough to just reside in Jerusalem or to simply go to church on Sundays. We're to trust God and cling to him for when these trials and challenges come. We cannot just trust our own efforts, our own works, how good we are, how much we tithe, how much we go to church. How often, I tell our students, how often you go to RUF does not determine your stability and assurance. But it's clinging to Christ and Christ alone. Clinging to the three persons of the Godhead. We are to trust God as a child trusts his father's hand when crossing the road. And by this assurance, we know that God in his grace sent his only begotten Son to pay for our sins, cleansing us from all iniquity and presenting us as holy in the sight of God. Jesus has presented us as adopted children in the kingdom where God surrounds us as the mountains surround Jerusalem and will sustain us until the coming of the new Jerusalem, that new city, and beyond that. We have assurance, not in the cities that we live or reside, but in the city to come, where God himself will be our king. We will reside along with him, and he will personally wipe our tears. And he will tell us personally that it will all be okay. This sense of security isn't earned by how much doctrine you know, which political party you support. It isn't earned by how much you have given through your tithes or how close you are to your church elders. It is not found by how many Ligonier videos you watch, by how many Bible studies you attend, who you're going to support in the November elections. No, friends, the sense of security is not earned. It is freely given by God's grace through Christ. Trust him in this way, and you will feel stable even when things around you are falling apart. Trust him in such a way that you feel surrounded by his love and grace in a world that often shows and gives the opposite. Trust him in such a way that when your faith is challenged and sin is present and consuming you, you know you will be sustained until the very end and that the scepter of wickedness will be crushed. Those who are in Christ belong to a better city. A better kingdom with a true king who will always rule and defend his people. And this king will never use us for his own selfish gain, nor will he ever falsely accuse or try anyone like a corrupt king or judge might. And we'll be blessed with better spiritual provisions than material comforts could ever bring. The Lord will also do away with the evildoers who are out to get us. This includes evildoers who may be people around us or the evildoers of the struggles that you deal with in terms of sin. He will ultimately destroy the sin that pains and hurts you and will bring you to a glorified body where sin will no longer be. The Lord will deal with all evildoers, through his judgment or through the cross of Christ. My friends, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not truly righteous if we look at our own selves. Only in Christ are we righteous. The only reason why you will not be destroyed or pulverized by God is because of the cross of Christ. So the Lord will deal with all injustices, all church hurt, all corruption, all oppression, all wars, persecutions. Look at the world around you. You know that this world is dealing with a lot of injustice. And we personally contribute to that. And the Lord will deal with all of it, either through judgment or through the cross of Christ. If you are standing today as a Christian, it's because of God's free grace that he has dealt with your injustice, with your unrighteousness, through the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. No evil will be undealt. All will be dealt. So my friends, there is so much to look forward to, and there is so much hope for us if we are in Christ. If you do not know him this morning, please do not miss out. Ask Reverend Jordan, ask your elders to pray with you. Pray with those around you, and don't miss out. Take heart in this hope. My friends, everything will be dealt with. And as citizens of the kingdom, which is here and not yet, we belong to a better city with a better king who will care for us. Often we may have good presidents, we may have good leaders, we may have good pastors, but none will be like the one true king who will personally wipe our tears and will tell us, it's all okay, everything is okay now. For I am here and you are with me. I am your God and you are my people. I close with two prayers. The first one coming from our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the true stabilizer, sustainer, and protector. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He prays to the Father. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Lastly, my friends, I close with the words of St. Patrick of Ireland. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. My friends, let this assurance that Christ is with us be the foundations, not just in the city and in the mountains, but let it be Christ himself that brings us our true sense of security. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this Sunday morning. Thank you, Father, that you are with us, within us, behind us, Lord, before us and besides us. Thank you for your love for us, Lord, for your grace, that though we deserve to be struck, that we deserve to be smitten, Lord, you didn't leave us there, Father, but instead you dealt with our unrighteousness to the cross that you carried. Father, we pray, Lord, that we may look to you in all things, Father, for when the scepter of wickedness is active and trying to destroy us, that we may look to you and your promises that you will ultimately destroy it, Father. Help us to long for you and for this residency in the kingdom, Father, where you will be living as our King who loves and cares for us, not just as a King, but as a Father who cares for his children. In your name we pray. Amen.